listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Hello, welcome to the next episode of Glee on the Rocks. I am Emily.
And I'm B.
And if you would like to support this podcast, you can find us all over the internet at Glee on the Rocks on Twitter and Instagram, and every once in a while on TikTok, you know, where the kids go. And you can also support the podcast and find a ton of extra content on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. And you don't have to do any of that at all. You can just listen to this episode with us and enjoy the sounds of our voices.
And that is also really cool.
Yeah. So today we are talking about, well, obviously Glee for one thing, because that was up for question. Just... if there was any confusion as to why you're here. But secondly, we are talking about season 4, episode 12, Naked. And the very quick rundown is the Glee Club puts together a calendar photo shoot for a fundraiser. Meanwhile, a part in a student film poses a moral dilemma for Rachel. I want to say that I had forgotten about the Mena McKinley calendar, but I had forgotten... how much I disliked the conversation around it.
The McKinley calendar is burned into my brain. Could not unremember. No, mm-hmm. I think on watching the episode, I think maybe it was handled better than I remembered it being handled, which is still not great, but better for Glee.
Sure.
Like I remember it being like more fucked up kind of, but maybe I'm confusing it kind of with like some of the behind the scenes stuff that came out about it.
Oh, sure.
Because like I see in the trivia, they said basically Darren Criss like hates the pictures in the calendar of him, that they like digitally made him look more buff than he is and all this stuff. And I was like, that's fucked.
Yeah. They gave him more, more abs.
Yeah.
Which you can kind of tell when he is like wearing his robe and it's kind of really kind of closed around him. You're like, oh, yeah. Little belly.
He always has a little belly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not an unfit person. They just surrounded him with these like extremely muscled up, quote unquote, teenagers. So he's not
Hedwig in the Angry Inch.
Exactly. So.
But I mean, it is a cross between on scene and then on scene.
Right, right.
that's not even a phrase. On screen and behind the scenes.
Yes, there. I knew what you meant, but I couldn't figure out how you said it wrong. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds so hard to get
That's
there.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So I guess the A plot here is that the poor warblers have been summarily ejected from competition because of doping. And now the New Directions once again have to raise money for regionals. Is this not the most reused plotline that Glee has
literally
ever done?
Been there, fucking done that?
And it's $400. Can like Quinn's parents not just give them
$400? Literally, like two parents could write a check and we'd be done with this.
Yeah. Not Sam's parents, but other people's.
Not
parents.
Sam's parents. You're right. You're right.
We don't know what the socioeconomic status of the rest of these students are, but like there are 10 people in the Glee Club.
Come That's on. $40 a piece to not be publicly humiliated. Come on.
And Tina's first fucking thought was, I'm going to get these guys naked.
Right? And she's like, I have a whole vision. I'm going to direct this whole photo shoot. Okay.
She's been waiting to get Blaine stripped down.
Truly.
For at least an episode.
This is the beginning of the, like, so blatant it hurts, like, Blaine, Sam, Tina love triangle thing.
And the objectification of Blaine, yes. Which has been in the background, but like is really intensified in these upcoming episodes. And it's I think it's an interesting conversation because obviously the fandom talks about Blaine / Darren's ass on the regular. But I want to say that that's different than the show doing it.
Yeah, I mean... People have a lot of opinions in fandom. We'll just start there. So, like, probably not everyone agrees. But I always felt like objectifying an actor not to their face or where they can read it is a lot different than, like, catcalling them on the street or, like, groping them when you meet them in a meet and greet, you know? So
it's not adding them on Twitter, right? You don't right. say it to their face.
Yes.
You put it in the fic. You don't go up to these guys and say like, damn, look at those abs. Like, you say it to your friends on the side.
Right. And that's where I'm like, in the episode, it's like, okay, these guys consented to taking their shirt off for a picture for a calendar. Like, they knew that was going to be, that's mm-hmm. what they consented to. They did not consent to Tina, like, saying some stuff about their ass. Like, what was the, mm-hmm. I didn't write down exactly what she said, but she was basically like, Blaine has a juicy booty, okay? That mm-hmm. was basically the line. And I was like, Tina?
And it's so specific to the actors' real bodies.
Yes.
And obviously the writers and the showrunners know what people are saying online about the actors. And then they put it in the script. And that's a line that fandom polices itself on that the show doesn't police itself on. So it's, you know, fandom is like, hey, don't go up to Darren and tell him he has a big ass. Like, not cool. But Ryan Murphy will write in the script.
Yeah, it's like not that many more episodes. Where's the end of Twerk? Is that season 5?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It's got to be. It is. There you go.
It's like your boss putting into your progress report, damn girl, you've got a big ass. Like, is that?
Literally.
Or your insecurities, right? Of Sam feeling like he's not buff enough. There's no way to, given the history of the Glee set and the history of the scripts that come out of the Glee set, is there a potential that Court Overstreet had expressed some insecurities about his body mm-hmm. with the addition of the two new guys that it just gets put right into the script? I wouldn't be surprised.
Based on the history of the show, yeah. And I'm pretty sure Ryan Murphy wrote this episode. He did. Yep. Yeah. So if there's any chance that it's just a reference to a direct insecurity of an actor, this is probably it. Lea Michele also probably had some insecurity about being topless. And he was just write everyone's insecurities into an episode. Love that. Right,
it's a weird line.
Yeah.
When it's like your job, I don't know. It's a lot. I'm sure there are much smarter people with PhDs who could say like the exact right words about why it's troubling.
I feel like there's a lot of shows where they incorporate the personalities of the actors and it makes the show better. Parks and Rec, I think, is a big one. You know, the personalities of the actors really flesh out a lot of the characters, like Donna, that didn't really have much characterization at first, even though she's been there since like episode 1, season 1. She really didn't become much of a character until later. And a lot of that stuff was like pulled from Retta herself, which is great. And I could talk about Parks and Rec all day.
Parks and Rec on the Rocks.
Oh my God. It'd have to be like the opposite of On the Rocks though, because I think that show pretty close to perfect. I mean, for its time, for sure. But I feel like in Glee, it was always the opposite. Like, it's not like, oh, our actors are such interesting, complicated people. Like, it's more like, that's something that you hate about yourself. I can write that into a vicious rant that someone's going to say directly to your face for hours a day on end. Like, love that.
Are you insecure about your voice? That's your entire character's personality.
Exactly. I just feel like it could have been clearly there are shows where the showrunner chooses to make that a positive thing. And then you have Glee where it's like just fucked up.
Yeah, totally. So it just puts an odd taste to the calendar, which could have been, I just think, really funny.
Right.
And instead you get a lot of commentary about bodies, which, again, a great conversation to have, maybe not on Glee.
Yeah.
With Artie making some very astute observations that not everyone looks like they're on the CW. Because they don't. And especially, like, high school students don't necessarily have 8-pack abs. I don't know about your high school, but mine didn't.
Literally, I try to think of, like, who would be the buffest person in high school. I guess, like, the guys who play football and they do, like, their workouts, you know? definitely did not have muscle definition like that. Like, absolutely not.
Maybe high school guys today, because they're working out 9 hours a day and they're on steroids. I don't know. But yeah. And like, it's also like they're barely 18 and Tina's out there hard creeping.
Yeah.
A little, nope. I don't know.
Most of them are not 18. I mean, in the plot.
Oh, that's true.
Because yeah, they're all coming like, I'm a sophomore, blah, blah, blah.
They're sophomores. Mm-hmm. So they're what, 16?
Maybe. Mm. Horrible. Yeah.
Not great.
16, 17. Yeah, where's the parental consent to this? Where's the permission slips? I knew that there had to be permission slips.
That's true. If you think about the actual work that needed to go into this, there would have been permission slips, and wouldn't Figgins had to have signed off on it?
Yeah, and like canonically, Finn is like 19 or 20 mm-hmm. max. mm-hmm. He is not in a position to green light something like this.
Well, he's not even a real teacher, right? He doesn't have any credentials.
I know. I love that they keep pointing that out. Yes, please. Keep pointing that out. This man has not attended college, not one day of his life.
No, he should not be in charge of anybody.
Oh.
I love to see him on screen. Great growth happening, especially with his conversation at the end with Artie.
Yeah.
Who quite obviously doesn't want to pose for the calendar because he feels different. Mm-hmm. And differentiated from the other guys, which is only ironic now, 10 years later, with what Kevin McHale looks like.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's not cool with showing off his body, and he shouldn't be forced to do it because everyone else is doing it.
Yes.
Or put in a position to feel inferior by having to have a prop or be clothed when everyone else is naked, like, then it stands out more. And that's his right to not do. And I appreciated how quickly Finn understood that and came around to that. And I thought that was a nice character growth for him.
Yeah, that's where I was like, oh, this episode is actually, like, a little better than I remember it being, like, because the whole conversation around Artie, like, not wanting to pose shirtless, not wanting to, you know, not really secure about being in his chair, definitely not happy about not being in his chair in the pictures. And like, the fact that that was like clearly talked about multiple times throughout the episode mm-hmm. to multiple people who did, you know, try to find solutions and supported, like still wanted Artie in the calendar. Like he was never excluded. It was Artie being like, okay, I'm going to be different. And I don't know how I feel about that, and I don't know what the right solution is. And eventually they do come to a solution. And I thought that was like oddly poignant for Glee. Yeah. Like this is like a pretty, as far as like the after school specialty kind of storylines go, like body issues is one that I think they definitely in the end of Twerk comes up again, maybe in some other places. I guess with like the whole Marley storyline too, like body issues is something that keeps coming up. And like, lo and behold, this one about guys worrying about how buff they are is actually handled pretty well.
It's like a room full of men writing about men.
Exactly. Like they have no idea how to write about women's issues
with
their bodies, but men, they somehow did a great job.
Yeah. This whole thing it was in the Fondue for Two mm-hmm. sketch where Brittany calls out Marley for her bulimia in an entire episode about body image. I was like, hold on. Wait.
Yeah.
You want to roll that one back? Because this might be the time to talk about it in this
literally.
Episode
and it,
about
and
bodies.
And it still wasn't even like completely unpacked or anything. It was a joke.
Yep. It's like, all right, because she's a woman and they don't know how to do that.
Exactly. She's like, haha, aren't women's little eating disorders so quaint? I don't know. It's just a weird vibes.
It was weird vibes. Like, didn't even have to, it would have been better just not to mention it. Maybe.
Literally. Because that's like the C plot, I guess, in this episode is that like Marley and Jake are trying to tell each other that they love you. I love you. They're trying to tell each other, I love you.
Trying to tell them each other that they love
tell
you.
Tell each other that they love each other.
Yes.
Yes. So
Brittany wants Marley to be vulnerable and honest with Jake. My
another
overall
definition of naked, I guess. Yeah.
And it's another definition of naked.
Yeah.
One issue I do have with Glee, and it's an ongoing one, is like they're 16, 17 years old. Like, mm-hmm. they don't have to tell each other they love anything. Their brains are mush. Can't they just like each other?
Have reasoning skills.
They have they known each other for like 2 months now? Three?
That's
maybe?
Such what a teenager thing. That's where I go to like, Glee sometimes writes teenagers really well. There'll be like this moment and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember being a teenager and like wanting to tell my little boyfriend that I loved him and like
Jesus. Be vulnerable with him. Like, do they know those words?
No, now that like, that's weird. They don't know that.
Come on.
You know, but teenagers nowadays do, and I like to think it's because of Glee.
You know what? We'll give them that credit. Let's give Glee credit for teenagers now being more vocal with their feelings.
Yes.
Which is maybe terrible.
I always think of in 21 Jump Street where they're like, they go back to high school undercover as cops and they're like baffled that these kids like care about the environment and like protect their gay friends and like don't want them to be macho. And he's like, oh, you know whose fault it is? Fucking Glee. So he's like, fuck you, Glee. And that's where the Channing Tatum gif comes from. Anyways, and I think about that all the time. I don't know if that's true or not, but someone wrote that into like a blockbuster movie. So
they're not wrong.
It's got some truth to it. Glee probably made a whole generation of people more accepting and tolerant, and I don't know how to feel about that.
It's really hard to want to give them credit, but sometimes you have to.
I know, and it's like, ugh.
I know.
Yeah.
I do appreciate Marley asking Jake to meet her in the auditorium to work on songs for regional. One, because she wants to work on songs for regionals.
Yes. Somebody's more than
someone's got to do it more than 2 days before.
Yes, the fucking God, event. Please. This is the most preparation they've done for any competition ever.
It really is. It really is. But it does turn out that I am still mad about the two of them singing A Thousand Years and not Kurt and Blaine.
Literally, I was glad you brought this up because I thought the same thing. I remember when we got like the song list, everybody mm-hmm. was like, oh my God. And then it was fucking Marley and Jake.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And not even in an explicitly romantic context either. I mean, it is, but it also isn't, right? Like, she's just like, oh, this is for sectionals. And then they sing it, and it's obviously very, like, romantic. And then she's like, oh, never mind. I don't want to do that one.
Like, it meant nothing.
Yeah, like, she didn't even take the opportunity to say, I love you. I remember being boiling with rage. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not awesome. Like, here's a perfect Clean song, and it's just fucking...
I know.
Just all over the I mean, and I don't even hate Marley and Jake.
No, I think they especially did a really this good time job around with the song. Like, I think it was beautiful.
They sound so cute.
And I appreciate Jacob Artis for being so serious in this episode. Like, he really, like, Jake's character development, like, he sells it.
He does. This, especially this time around, this rewatch.
Yes.
They're so cute. And, you know, great for them. But back the fuck off the song. It was 2013. we know who this song belonged to.
We were so they squandered so many songs on the whole like Marley Jake writer shit. I'm still bitter.
Now later, Jake sings the Neo song "Let Me Love You," et cetera, whatever the fuck else that song is called. He sounds great.
So good.
Super cute. Love it. Fantastic. No notes.
Yes, that one. I was like surprised because. I gotta say the music in this episode was not great.
it was pretty boring.
A lot of swing and a miss. But I do. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because Jake's cover of "Let Me Love You" was really good.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded amazing. It felt very sincere.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
It was good. No notes. Can't complain.
But he still doesn't tell Marley that he loves her.
No.
Even though Britt. It's Brittany, right? She's like, don't you have something you want to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's
writer,
literally sitting there like, hey.
Yeah, it's like, aren't you going to tell her? And he's like, nope. And ends up telling her by writing it in her Men of McKinley calendar. Wow, what a memento.
It's like in your yearbook, have a bomb-ass summer. I love you.
Literally. Like, my wife wrote for the first time that she loved me in a book as well, but it wasn't a picture of her topless.
That's a different vibe.
Different vibe.
Different vibe. That happens later.
Oh, man.
And not in front of, like, the entire school.
I know there's the both times that Jake chose to like try and say it were so public. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I was a teenager, like saying I love you was like embarrassing. Like you wanted to, and you felt all, you know, warm and fuzzy, but it was like, ugh, like
the, so with Jake sitting there on that stool and those two older, you know, well, Britt was older.
Right.
She didn't graduate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sitting there being like, is there something you want to say? Do you want to say something? Hey, yep. Do you want to say something? I would have probably puked in embarrassment.
Died.
To been
run out screaming.
Either as Marley or as Jake. I would just been like, bleh. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, man.
Granted, I'd never be in the Glee Club because of my embarrassment levels, but same. Like, bleh, just thinking about it.
I know. The more we talk about Glee, the more I'm like, God, I'm really glad high school choir was not like this at all, because I can't imagine, like, the people that I was in choir with, I fucking hated most of those people. If they had to get up and just sing a heartfelt, like, love song to each other once a week, yeah. I would
no
blow my brains out. This is terrible.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Like, I thought we were practicing for something. No, we're just singing.
Literally, like, it's like, there's a competition. We don't even have a set list. Yeah. Y'all are just serenading each other. Ugh.
Before we get to Rachel, who I think is like the, is she the B plot or the C plot?
I feel like A plot has been a McKinley. I guess you could argue between Rachel or Jake and Marley on who the B plot is. Maybe they're both B.
We can jump to like Sam. I was going to make like a B cup joke, but I don't know if that's appropriate.
Yes.
A cup?
No, Sam's got bigger than A cups.
That's true. Does Rachel, though? I don't know.
What is this? Dana called them like mosquito bites or something.
Mosquito bites. We do have Sam and Britt as sexy teen imbeciles.
I love Fiddens. He's so underutilized.
He really is.
Sexy teen imbeciles.
The highest and lowest scores on the SATs ever received at McKinley.
Which, what? She said she drew a penis and a unicorn?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then like A's until she got bored and then switched.
I know they talk more about this later. They circle back to this in a different plot. But I still don't understand it.
I also think the lowest score you can get on the SAT is a 400, not a 340. I think you get enough points for putting your name on
it's
the
like
page.
It's like showing up. Yeah.
Yeah. Are we still on the Sam is dumb vibe, even though we know he has dyslexia?
It's like they said in an episode that Sam had dyslexia and immediately forgot it, because it is not brought up here. And because people are like, oh, well, you can just take it again. But they don't say, like, maybe you need accommodations or something like that.
Yeah.
They're just like, because take it again. It's fine.
If the outcome of the SAT scores was that he wasn't going to be able to go to the same colleges, couldn't we have gotten there also that he couldn't afford to?
Right.
Did it have to be that he's an idiot? Because not cool.
Because Sam is not dumb. Like, he may not be book smart. Like, college isn't for everyone. I think I would have liked better if that scene, instead of being like, here's some colleges that don't require SATs, if they'd been like, what about trade school? What about college? Like, you don't have to go straight to a four-year institution if school is not your thing. Like, you're just going to have a lot of student loans that you can't pay back. Don't fucking do it. It's a scam.
And it won't be until 2022 when the government might start making some consolations toward the fact that student loans are predatory.
And even then, is like, that's like overstating it. go ahead.
I'm just thinking, even if you guessed your entire way through the SATs, you'd end up with above a 340.
I think even if you picked C for everything, you'd probably get above a 340. Like, that's crazy. And I know it's supposed to be funny, but it just pissed me off more when Brittany was like, oh, I might go to MIT or the University of California at Charles Barkley's house. Oh, my God. It was so funny. But I was like, poor Sam. This is also his girlfriend, right? Are they still together? Or did they break up?
I
think they're still together. Because then they just had a storyline together, I think.
Sure.
I don't know.
Does it matter?
They're not acting together, so. Maybe they broke up.
Glee does that, though, where every couple episodes they forget that characters who are dating are dating, really, and then they act like strangers.
Because they Glee actually, that was two episodes ago, they had the marriage storyline. Did they break up in that episode?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
You wouldn't know that I've literally watched everything episodes. I watch them all. I usually take very detailed notes.
I've got like 2.5 pages of notes on this episode, and I'm still like, wait, are they together?
I don't know.
Let's say yes for now.
I feel like they probably are. Anyways.
You know what? Tell us if they're together.
Yeah, we'll take a poll. Someone, do you think they're together?
Yeah. But no, totally. The lack of discussions in media about I was going to say the efficacy, and that's not the right word, but the possibility of community colleges and trade schools is nuts.
The legitimacy.
The legitimacy. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's baffling. And I know that a lot of it is late stage capitalism and morality placed on levels of education and all this shit that we've placed on ourselves over the last few years just to make for-profit colleges money, right?
Right.
We know the mechanisms behind it, but we don't have to keep doing this. You don't have to go... people listening to this episode, you don't have to go to a four-year institution if you are not prepared to make a call on what you think you want to study.
Yes.
Don't do it. Go to a two-year, spend a fraction of the money, get an AA or not, and work out what you think you might want to do.
Yes.
You're going to change your mind so many fucking times, it's going to irritate you and everyone in your family.
Yes.
And your friends. And that's good. It's really good to change your mind. Because you wanted to be a vet when you were 6, and I promise you don't want to be a vet now.
And you know what? I feel like upon graduating from high school, most students don't know what actually goes into, like, a career. Mm-mm. Like, or at least this was my experience. If you were kind of smart and you kind of like science, they were like, great, you're going to be a doctor. Oh, or if you were kind of smart and you kind of like English, they were like, great, you're going to be a lawyer. And like, that was it.
Or a teacher.
Like, yes. Or something like that. And it's like, so you're like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to be. But, and I mean, kids have more internet now. So like, maybe that was a product of its time. But like, I felt like I didn't know what it took to go to medical school or like what the classes I was going to have to take in college would be like. Or even what a doctor fucking does on a day-to-day basis. Like, in my head, it was all about like patient care. Not true, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that goes for probably like any career that you pick at random at like as a little kid, and then you just say you're going to do it, but there's no like career preparation in high school. So you get to college and you start taking these prereqs and you're like, oh no, I hate organic chemistry or I hate, you know, poli sci or whatever you got yourself into. And it is extremely difficult and expensive to completely change course, you know, halfway through your college career. It sucks.
And there's a ton of careers that you don't even know exist until you start living in the world. Like, you think the one that kills me now, and part of me is like, oh, I could actually go back to school, but I also am like never going to do that again. But if someone had actually told me what being a librarian was, I would have beelined for that.
Literally, why did I not become a librarian? I think about this all the time. I would love to be a librarian.
Right, exactly. Nobody, because I already have interests in English and history and religion and poli-sci, like all these interests, but no one ever said, like, you know, there are so many kinds of librarians.
Right.
They do a multitude of things. It's not just sitting in an underutilized school library,
right,
checking out books. Like, that's not a librarian. Like, oh my God, I would have angled right fucking for it.
I don't know why I never thought of that. I spent so much fucking time at the public library, at the school libraries. Like, what? Why did I never?
There are research librarians who just help people. They help other students research shit.
There's like children's librarians, and then there's ones who do like the teen rooms and like the teen events, and like there's just so,
or just purely academic research in an institution. If you don't want to do that, like there's multitudes.
I would love to be a public librarian and like build all the little displays, like they do all the little like He's a 10, but have you seen those? Like,
yes.
Like the red flags. That's so fucking cute. So just like curating a little book display and like making the little things. I fucking love it.
But no one tells you that's a career path because.
And you have to have like a master's degree in it. Mm-hmm. You can't just like waltz into a library.
Not at all.
It's upsetting.
So like Emma could have given Sam
anything,
anything, any other information beyond. Here's some colleges that don't take SATs.
Yeah.
Any other information. And it's infuriating. And I know that Glee is not an after-school special and it's not on PBS. That's a fucking show to entertain you. But the best shows also show people the possibilities outside of television.
Exactly. Right? I feel like they could have just at least thrown it out there. But no, not even that. It's just like, of course you're going to a four-year institution and taking on $100,000 in student debt. Yeah.
Because that's everyone, that's what your trajectory should be. Like, is it though?
Although I guess she did try to help him with like the scholarship thing. She's like, just write an essay.
Yeah, okay.
With your dyslexia.
Your dyslexia. Oh. Just sit down and write this, even though we know you have trouble writing.
I know.
And then, you know, everyone filmed little videos about how much they like him. Like, what is he going to do with that? Turn that in? Because Blaine was like, that's your essay. Like,
I know. That's your...
What? Okay, what?
Of course, TV is a visual medium. So they're like, you know, we'll put together, it'll be like video clips of people. But it's like,
What, is he's got to transcribe
the video now. It was cute, though. I mean, it's a little... It's like those birthday videos people do for their friends, but, like, more meaningful, I guess.
Like, Ryan Murphy went to college. He knows a little bit.
I'm not even convinced he went to high school sometimes the way the show is written. But you're right.
He said he did. Do we believe anything that Ryan Murphy says?
I don't, generally. As a general...
He says he graduated from a high school in Indianapolis, but, like, did he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that in the trivia for this episode because Regionals is going to be in Indianapolis, which is where Ryan Murphy's from, and he wrote the episode. He was like, shout out to Indy. Yeah.
Hate that guy.
I do think that's the whole Sam Blaine friendship is so cute. I wish they hadn't fucked it up with like the unrequited love thing. I really wish they hadn't.
Same. These moments are perfect.
I know. So like, done. Sam amazing really needed friends. Someone who could see through his bullshit because Sam is like not a fun person to be around in this episode. Like some of it. Like he's like very like kind of tyrannical towards the other guys, like getting them in shape for the calendar, and like he himself is like, oh, we gotta take the pictures quick or I'm gonna lose like my definition. Like he's like
my pump.
Right? He's like my pump. That was it.
My pump.
He's like, I'm like, who's got the roid rage now? This is too much. But it did also give us the one, in my humble opinion, is the worst mashup the Glee has ever done.
Hot in here.
Hot in here / centerfold. Why didn't they just pick one or the other? Those are both good songs in their own right. Why didn't you put them together? I hate it.
It's really bad. Hot in here would have been an amazing song on its own. Yes. Centerfold didn't need to be there.
Yes.
D minus.
It's like truly like the most nonsensical. It had the feeling that there was like a fight in the writer's room where like half of them were like, we're going to do Hot in Here. And the other half was like, we're going to do Centerfold for this like montage of them like getting ready for the calendar. And so some enterprising young person was like, whatever, we'll make it a mashup. Mm-hmm. And it's really bad. It's objectively really bad.
It's really bad. Yeah, it's bad. If you like the song, we'll need to hear your apology.
I would love to hear another counterpoint because I just don't see how you could be like, you know, it's got some points. No, it ruined both songs.
It doesn't. I also don't love watching dudes do push-ups off women, but that's me.
Yeah, why were the girls in the boys' locker room this whole episode?
I don't know.
And helping them. Like...
just to get the Cheerios in there, I guess.
Right? Because it wasn't even like just the Glee girls, huh? It was like some random Cheerios too. Okay.
Yeah, because they're the dance squad.
Yes. like the Cheerios would never be making sure the New Directions got to go to regionals.
No.
They
especially not when they're trying to blackmail Sue with nudes.
Wait, I loved that. What was it that she posed in Penthouse after taking horse estrogen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Which apparently is a throwback to something that was said in like season one.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it was
because they'll remember an extended
version of the pilot. Yeah.
That's what they remember. It's a throwback to a random comment in the extended version of all the pilot that was never aired.
I know. It's like, you guys want to have continuity?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Yeah. I'm glad they brought back Fondue for Two, though. This is like the first episode it comes back in since the first time it was there, apparently. This is all from Glee Wiki, so I trust them with my life. They said, this is the first appearance of Fondue for Two since its only appearance in season two episode Rumors.
Huh. Okay.
And then from now on, it becomes like a recurring.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, and they also throw back to Santana's sex tape. Sorry, that's the next plot line.
Yeah. We can jump to Rachel because I did love the recall to the sex tape.
Yes.
For reasons. Do we want to just jump into Rachel's B or C plot line, depending on how important you find Rachel?
B1, B2. Yeah. Let's do it.
So Rachel gets cast in a student film at NIADA and is asked if she will appear topless. And she says yes, initially.
Yes, but not before she sings a duet with herself.
Yeah.
Which I also hated. I gotta be honest, I hated it.
I do. I love the song, Torn, because, you know, you grow up in that era, and, like, who doesn't love Natalie Imbruglia? There's so much about this entire conversation around a woman getting topless for a movie that is like, oh yeah, dudes did write this, didn't they?
Right. Literally.
It's hard to unpack because some of it is like disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's obviously for giggles for the show. So Rachel's obviously at odds with herself about whether or not she wants to do it. She sees the younger version of herself in her old Rachel attire arguing about the virtues of getting naked on camera, and like old Rachel calls her and her makeup porn star esque.
Yeah, she was like, your hair's out of control or something, which is like,
it was funny.
It's funny, but then they don't change anything either.
They don't change it. Yeah,
so it's just like going forward, like, okay, like y'all just saying that Rachel Berry's a slut. Okay.
Yeah, she's like, your hair's getting out of control. New Rachel says, fair. She like agrees with her, and then it never changes. So we do agree that her hair extensions are nuts. Okay, great.
I know her ombre and her blunt bangs.
There's only one way to resolve this. Sing about it. Like, okay. Sing Torn, I think, because there's a line about being naked in it.
Yes, I literally think that's why they picked the song.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit Lea Michele's voice at all. Her voice, her style, nothing. I would have loved to hear like Santana sing that song. Honestly, anybody else. It was not good. I think you're totally right. Half these episodes, I feel like someone slapped a word up on the board. Naked. That's what this episode's going to be about. And
then someone Googled song lyrics with
the word naked. 100%. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because someone just flipping through a playlist like, ooh, Natalie Imbruglia, done.
So it's like so many times it's just like too on the nose. Or so off base that you're like, it had to have just been that because...
Like the one they sing afterwards, love song. What?
I know. I think
I'm gonna write you a love song. Like,
I think that one only worked if you know the background of the song, or at least I thought so. Because like, Sarah Bareilles wrote that song because her management or whatever, her label wanted her to write a love song, so she wrote that as like a fuck you to them, and then she blew up and now she can do whatever she wants. So
yes.
I kind of was like, oh, it is kind of a fuck you song to the powers
that
be.
But does that have any context within the show? No. You have to like know the background of the song.
No, exactly. Yeah.
To know what's happening in the show.
It's just more like, I'm not gonna mm-hmm. take my top off. They could have changed the lyrics. Yeah.
That would have been funny.
I don't think they talk. I don't think there's naked in that song. So I don't know how they decided on that one.
Maybe Ryan Murphy may just really like Sarah Bareilles. That could have been enough for him.
I mean, she's America's sweetheart. So
yeah, there was also something really silly about old Rachel calling new Rachel's attire slutty when she's in the world's shortest skirt.
I know. And like the thigh high socks, like, come on.
Yeah. Like, you're dressed like every schoolgirl fantasy right now.
I was about to say,
like,
that's also a porn outfit. It's just a different kind of porn.
It's just a different vibe. It's all, Rachel has always looked a little porny. Are we just now realizing this or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the arguments about whether or not to be naked on film are so difficult anyway, because you have to deconstruct so many layers of misogyny and male gaze and consent, and why is this character naked in the first place?
Like
when you write a character being naked, like, why are you doing that in the first place?
Yes.
Like, oh, because it shows her vulnerability. Like, does it though, or do you think it does?
Yes.
Are you already trained as a writer to assume that nakedness on screen equals vulnerability? Did you learn that from a writer in your classes, or do you really think it? Like, it's too much for Glee to just say it's feminism. Like, it's not though.
Yes,
it's not, because we only have these questions around women on screen. We never have these questions about men.
I feel like the counter argument of like, you can't do this is because like, either your children will be scarred one day or you will feel shame. Those were like really the only two arguments. I mean, I guess the other one was like, it'll make you not look like a serious enough actor for your serious actor career. But it's like, it's a student film. Is this going on her IMDb credits? Like,
it might.
Is she gonna like, I don't know. I just can't see. I don't know. It just seems so low stakes, but maybe I just don't understand how it works.
It will follow you, especially in the age of the internet. Like, if there's a copy, there's a copy, which was Santana's point, right? Like,
right,
there's a copy, there's a copy. And I think for me anyway, the discussion around like, why are you doing this is pretty intense. If you think, you know, like, do you really want to, or do you think you want to because of X, Y, and Z? Or are you having a, where is your rationale coming from? Like, what level of internalized misogyny is this coming from? I think it's similar arguments around wearing makeup and around wearing high heels and all these different, like, I'm doing it for myself. Like, but are you? Are you though? Yeah, it makes me feel good. Like, does it? Or does it satisfy a number of other things?
True.
Because of every other internal and external input that you get from society.
And I feel like this is like always more of a thing with women too. Like,
oh yeah. 100%.
Any choice you make is not just a choice you made. Like, it's also has so many layers of like expectations and pressure and tradition. And
And if you don't do it, you're just a prude. Yeah. Like, but are you?
What's like, if you choose not to wear makeup, that's like making a statement. If you choose to wear makeup, that's like making a statement.
Yeah. Like, think about it for more than 2 seconds before you make a choice.
Yeah.
And think about why you're making, like, no. But it's Glee.
Right.
So really it's about, will your children think it's gross? Like, ooh, that's not the real question.
Well, I was going to say, like, similar to like all the conversations that they had with Artie throughout the episode about him deciding whether to take his shirt off. I do feel like at least I liked that you could kind of see that Rachel felt empowered to change her mind, or like she kind of made the decision for herself, right? Because she gets like feedback from Kurt saying like, don't fucking do this, but then Brody is like supportive, such that he is walking around naked in their apartment.
Oh god, the rooster O's,
iconic scene. The rooster O's. And then of course Kurt calls in Santana and Quinn to visit her, and they're like, don't fucking do this because my sex tape never went away and like your kids will be ashamed. And then she still goes to the set to film the scene, and it's not until like she is in the moment and knows in her gut, like, I don't want to do this, that she is able to like walk away from it. So like, I guess she still didn't really say why. She was just kind of like, no, I don't want to. I don't know. But
and it was also obvious they were never going to have Rachel Berry take her top off.
Of course not, right?
So the stakes were pretty low other than, like, what was Glee going to try to say about it?
Right.
So.
And what do you, you think they said about it in the end?
I think they still leaned a little too hard into the, like, super old school slut virgin argument.
Right.
Like, Rachel's a good girl, so she didn't take her top off.
Right.
Like, she's a serious actress. She's really in it for her craft, so she didn't take her top off. Like, okay, but, like, what are we now saying about what a good girl, like, are people who get naked on film not good actors or serious actors?
Well,
and, like, what about the writers and the directors who write those? Like, aren't they the first step in bad movies then? Like, they're the ones who created the content, then you force an actor into the situation. Like, it's not, the actor is not the first stop in who gets naked on film. It's the writer and then the director and the producers pushing it forward, right? So it would have some more, it's so hard because, like, it's fucking Glee, you're never gonna get this,
right?
Some more depth to, like, what her thought process was.
Right.
I think Kurt was, I didn't love Kurt's advice about this.
Right.
Kurt is really, like, can't think of the word, the type of argument for this, but, like, if you want to, what did he say? Because Brody was the one who was like, if you want to win an Oscar, you have to show your boobs. Like, no, you don't.
Oh, yeah. Like, named a bunch of actresses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kurt was very prudish is not the right word, but very like, how could you possibly do this?
Right.
Like, but why are you saying that about her? Like, everyone needs to think about what they're saying right now. And, but they're Glee, or they're like 1.5 dimensional characters. They can't.
Right. Right.
So just, it was, I don't know. For me, there was, like, just so much happening in this episode that on a 1-hour drama or, you know, a movie would have been so much, or could have been a lot deeper of conversation about.
Right.
Why we do these things for movies and TV. Because now you have shows like Euphoria, which I won't watch because
I don't think I'm interested in it. Yeah.
Like, I'm personally not interested in watching 15, 16-year-olds have sex and do drugs, but I'm an old fuck, so.
I mean, it's definitely not realistic. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. And, like, those actresses are all getting naked, and there's a lot of conversation about what happens on set and with the director and the creator. Like, yeah, let's have that conversation, too. Like, are you doing this because you want to or because you feel pressured by the production? Like, is it empowering or is it the nature of things? Are you saying it's empowering because if you don't, you're blacklisted from Hollywood? There's a lot that happens.
So,
don't go into Hollywood, you guys. Being an actor is not worth it.
Did you read Jeanette McCurdy's book?
No.
I'm glad my mom died.
Is that the one that I'm glad my mom died?
Yeah, I just finished it this week.
Super good.
But it's a lot about, it's a lot about, like, her mom forcing her into acting basically when she hated it. So very interesting. Like, child actors shouldn't exist, honestly.
No, they shouldn't.
Just, it's horrible.
They really shouldn't.
And she ended up, I mean, this is not a spoiler, but she ended up getting, like, exploited on so many levels such that she didn't even get, like, the Coogler account, like the 15% that she's supposed to get from all the money she made as a minor.
Yeah.
Her mom just, like,
Jesus,
fucked up setting up the account. Apparently that can happen. Your parent can just be like, I set that up, and then not, and then not that's it. Like, that's
cool,
insane.
Cool.
Yeah. Insane. So I do appreciate, if the shows are going to be about high schoolers, of course, it's absurd that they cast, like, 20 or 30-somethings, but I appreciate that in the sense that...
I do, too.
Yeah. Don't ruin anyone's innocence or childhood with, like, forcing them to take their top off, boy or girl. Like,
we have made fun of Glee for, like, oh, that guy looks like he's 30.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, of course you can exploit an adult.
Yeah.
But...
Well, Glee made fun of itself this episode, too. Like, one of the reporters asked Hunter, like,
I thought that was fun.
Don't you look too old to be in high school? I love that.
Yeah. But I, you know, when it comes down to the safety on set, having older actors play high schoolers, I think is infinitely better than putting 13 and 14-year-olds into those situations.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's smart. What a depressing episode that we've turned this into. I'm sorry.
No, this is the problem with Glee. They take these heavy fucking topics and, like,
yeah,
make them a one-off joke episode.
Yeah,
and it does. It's like, well, thanks. We're left here to unpack that for you just because you didn't bother to. Because you're right. There was a lot of talk about like the difference between girls and guys taking their top off or like, why is the pressure there? And like, yeah, so good. You said it way better than I could. But yes, agreed.
Yeah. I'm glad all my work experience, I mean, not that it would have ever been different, but all my work experience is behind the camera and offset. Like, no, thank you. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I feel like when you're like a kid, though, I mean, not every kid, obviously, but I feel like being a child actor is something that just looks so glamorous and like being famous is like, it'll just solve all your problems, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah.
It might solve like one, but guess how many more you get. So Rachel does not take her top off. Really, they kept saying take her top, but drop her robe. I'm not sure what was happening.
What about the bottoms? I don't know. Yeah. I did think I thought it was kind of funny when she had like the whole crew working on the movie to take their tops off.
Try to feel safer.
Yeah.
Which again is an interesting little tidbit of like feeling safe on set in the pre-intimacy coordinator world.
Yes.
And that director just being so like, do it, like chill.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want her to do this so badly? What are you doing?
But and then at the end when Rachel walks off, the director's like, I guess I have to do it. It's like, why don't you just do it the whole time? Just whatever. It's fucking Miata. Like, yeah, you're there for directing, but you're also kind of there for acting, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
You just wanted to do this the whole time. She just had to cast someone to look legit in the first place.
Right, yeah. It's like, I've tried to find it, but I couldn't find anyone. That's funny. But after she walks off set, she meets Santana Quinn at a random stage?
Sure.
Theater?
I don't know. Maybe for a second, it looked like they had just arrived back at McKinley somehow. But
anytime I see people on stage, I think it's like the high school auditorium, but it's not. But they still have lighting.
I don't know how they got there.
But I do really love, we already talked about Love Song a little bit, but I love their performance of it. I think it sounds really good, like the three-part harmony.
No, they always sound great.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked a different song.
Yeah.
In here. But again, the song choices for this episode were weak.
Yeah.
But they sound lovely. So it was nice to see them. We also got the little hint from Santana that she would be leaving Kentucky and potentially moving to New York because it's more her speed.
What time is she getting from Kentucky to New York anyways? Is there like a train?
These boots are made for walking?
I guess so. I don't know. When she said that, I was like, Kentucky? How far is Kentucky? It seems pretty far.
Okay, so Kentucky is just it shares a border with Ohio, so it's about the same distance.
Okay.
Which is something I just learned.
So you probably have to fly, though.
Where Kentucky is.
It's like, I know Kentucky is above Tennessee, but that means a lot of things. Like,
fair.
Once you get above Tennessee, I don't know any geography in, like, realistic terms.
Okay, honestly, once you get east of the Rockies, I lose it. States start looking the same.
Yeah.
Start questioning their practices and their Dust Bowl.
I've always grown up in these states where it's like, it takes about 6 hours to drive from one side of the state to the other. And then you get to these states where it's like, you can get from side to side in an hour. Well, there's no traffic. And that's
those
like
little baby states. The fuck is that?
It's baby states. I don't get it.
Yeah. It takes 4.5 hours to drive from where I am to the eastern edge of Washington. But that doesn't count. You're missing the peninsula on the West Coast, right? So but you got to go up over a mountain range and then through, right? So it's 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not a tiny state. I know people forget.
That's like the size that I'm used to. Because like Alabama and Louisiana are both kind of like that. It's like 5-6 hours the long way and like maybe 3 hours the other way. So you probably can drive from Kentucky to New York. You probably shouldn't, but I think
Google map it.
They said Blaine always flew, but he's like a rich kid.
Where did she go to school? I forget.
I think it's Louisville, huh?
Louisville.
Exactly.
Louisville.
It takes 12 hours to drive. Oh, God.
The thrilling podcasting of someone Google mapping Louisville to New York City. 11 hours, 38 minutes. It has tolls. You take I-71 north. You go through, is it just under Pittsburgh? Amazing. What a boring fucking drive.
Yeah, you hit Cincinnati, Columbus, outskirts of Pittsburgh, and then New York. Wow. Yeah, that seems terrible.
I will say, for as much as Pennsylvania kind of sucks, it's really beautiful to drive through.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually very beautiful to drive through.
I didn't know Pittsburgh and Philadelphia were so far away from each other.
They're on the opposite side of the state.
Sides of Pittsburgh. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
We used to have to fly into Pittsburgh to then take a puddle jumper to my grandparents' house in New York because the airport there was not big enough for a regular plane.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have to change into a plane that you could probably just carry on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in one of those before. Yeah.
Terrifying. Like terrifying. Where you're watching the rudders go. You're like, please keep going. Please keep going. Please
yes. All right. Even more like a tin can. I think we covered everything. I think we didn't say that like Sam ends up keeping his shirt on for the calendar as well, like to in yes. solidarity with Artie, and I love that.
I did too. I loved it.
And then for some reason they do "This is the new year" at the end because it's January, so they're like, yeah.
Yeah, for an episode that mentions that it's January like once,
yeah,
then they really go hard on "This is the new year"
because it's not even like the first episode after the Christmas episode, it's the second episode after the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
It felt like when they just blatantly say like the title of a book in the book when they didn't really have to. Like there was no reason to say the title of the book because it's just some phrase. But anyways, I did really like "This is the new year" though. But everybody knows I'm a sucker for a group number. I thought it was really cute.
They sound great.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking pre-record about A Great Big World and the song. They obviously modeled the performance to look like a music video. So that was kind of interesting. They're just staring right at you and into the camera.
Yeah, there was like the mix of like the being on stage and then they're just like staring into the camera on a studio. Yeah.
Yeah. But it definitely just becomes a song. Like all of a sudden you're like, here's a song. We're singing. Like,
oh, it literally is. It's like, oh, it's going to be a great year. And then it's like, bah, bah, bah. And Darren's just staring into your eyeball.
Yeah.
Okay. Soloing and you're like, okay, we're doing this thing. Final number.
You see the ring light reflected in his eyes. The ring light,
yes. Also, there's like a filter over their performance that makes it like gray. Like it's like, who made that decision? I know it wasn't
leaning into that
our friend Joaquin Cedillo, who does the director of photography. He would never. That's some post-production bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Someone did that to him. And
I know, just like gray. I don't get why. It's weird.
Maybe to really highlight the black and whiteness?
I guess so. Glee Wiki told me this is it's like the sixth song that they did black and white costumes for in the show.
Are they just cheaper?
I don't know. I guess it is a lot easier to coordinate, 12 people's outfits when you'd go black and white. But like Fix You, they do the black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Vogue. No, just kidding. I'm reading the wrong list. Keep Holding On. Hello, Goodbye, Toxic, One of Us, and Fix You. They all wore black and white in those performances, and they're all group numbers. I know. I was like, I didn't think about that before. But usually that's to convey the seriousness of it. Like, Keep Holding On and Fix You and One of Us are, like, very serious.
Yeah.
But anyways, whatever. Huh.
You feel like they also could have done it, like, Disco Ball, super sparkly for the new year.
That would have been cool.
All gold sparkles.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been way more fun.
Obviously, we should have written Glee.
I should have. Ugh, just missed opportunities. What's like sometimes they do these end numbers and, it's just like them having fun on stage together. Mm-hmm. And then other times they do it and they coordinate all their outfits. And like, it must be difficult to coordinate all the outfits, 100%. But some of the choices that they made in my head, in service of it being easier to coordinate the outfits, are like when they put them all in flannel for Sing, which was a choice. Putting them all in black and white is a choice, you know. So shout out to the costumers of Glee, though. I know they really held it down, so I won't talk too much shit against them.
No, we can't.
We can't.
Of all the things that we hate, we cannot hate the costume
department. Never hate on them.
Constant MVPs.
Yes. And all their black and white outfits were super cute. They were adorable and all very different.
Yes, they were. I'm trying to think if anyone really stood out.
Unique stood out for me because she had like this like high pencil skirt look. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was cute.
Especially because I can't imagine being encased in a pencil skirt.
I know. It's okay. All Unique had to do was park and mark.
That's true.
I think about that every time they do a crew number. Park and mark. I'm like, who's the park and mark?
It's just a great line, park and bark.
It is. It's so good.
It was a cute number. I'm glad. Okay. Do we just go to the Kevin McScale? Do we have any final thoughts?
I think we got to go to the Kevin McScale. He had a plot line.
He had a whole ass plot line.
He had a whole ass plot line. He didn't have a solo, though. He should have had a solo.
So it's a four, whole ass plot line, but no solo?
Yeah. I feel like a four. I'm looking at the song list again. I feel like he could have had a song similar to Torn, where he's like thinking about like what he wants to do, and like, or he could have also sung Torn. Maybe they could have split it. I think that would have been cool.
That would have been
instead
cool.
of Rachel splitting it with herself.
That would have been cool because they've done that before, where two characters across different plots sing the same song,
which I think is really cool. Yeah,
I like when they do that.
I think that would have been better, and I just love to hear Kevin sing. Obs.
Me too. Duh. Kevin, you're always invited onto this podcast.
Always. Oh my god. That would be a dream come true. I don't know if I could be on that one. I might have to like calm down.
We can't pay you, but no. Like
we can pay you in our never ending love and support.
Yeah. We can promise not to say bad things if that helps with your PR team. Or at least cut them.
We couldn't promise it for certain other Glee actors who wanted to be on the show.
Fair. Very true.
I'll make a call. To be fair, it wasn't his fault. It was the Glee writer's fault, but it was objectively not good. Anyways. Four out of five on the Kevin scale. Pain deck.
Yes. There was no pain. They didn't interact. Yeah. They weren't together. There was nothing.
No clean like and no pain. No pain, no clean.
No pain. If you had never seen Glee before and this was your episode, you would not know those characters knew each other.
You would have no idea. Oh my god, that's depressing.
Yeah.
You say it like that, I'm like, wow, that makes me sad.
You also wouldn't know that the New York storyline connected to the Ohio storyline.
No, not at all.
So it was an episode where they were very disparate.
Well, we don't even know if Sam and Brittany are together in this episode either. So
that's true.
The only couple that did anything is Jake and Marley.
Yeah. Man, they really took over.
Oh.
Do you have a favorite song? Besides Hot and Her.
No, God, it's so bad. I think I'm going to have to go with Love Song is my favorite song. Okay. Yeah. I think This Is the New Year was a close second.
I'm gonna go with This Is the New Year.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah. It was my favorite performance for sure. Like, it's just cute. They're just running around.
It's very cute.
Being besties.
Being BFFs.
Yeah.
BFFs.
Peace in the Glee Club for once. Part of that time, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any memorable lines that we have not covered? I don't.
I didn't write any down. I already mentioned the Brittany one, where she's like knit in the Charles Barkley's house. Yeah. That was probably the one I laughed out loud at.
And then what is that thing you like?
Let's see. I think that thing I like was Jake singing Let Me Love You. I do. That was really nice. Made sense with the plot. Beautifully done. Really well acted. I did not like the just sit and sing solo in front of the Glee Club kind of numbers, but I actually really enjoyed this one. It was nice to see a character get that sing in front of the Glee Club solo that doesn't normally get them.
That is true.
Yeah.
Get to highlight the voice.
Yes.
And not just the dancing.
Jacob Artist has a great voice. Exactly. And he doesn't get a lot of chances to show it off.
That thing I liked was, despite rewind. It was Blaine and Sam having a conversation around, you know, school and Sam being a good person. Just that interaction of them, like one dude trying to say nice things to another dude.
Yeah.
Without like having to like punch a shoulder or be yes. manly about it, just having like a deep conversation for them,
yeah.
a heartfelt conversation about their good qualities that were not tied to sports,
yes,
or getting laid, or just like your intellect or your goodness or your kindness.
It's about the things like he did for people. So true, yeah. like positive yeah. masculinity,
positive masculinity.
Yes,
so rarely seen in the wild.
Oh, I'm so glad you pointed that out because that's so true. And they like hugged at the end.
They did.
It was like very, very heartfelt.
So I just ignore what comes later. With
exactly. I'm like, if we could just isolate this episode. Yeah. Like I was just thinking like I actually really liked the newbies in this episode too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were fun.
They were fun. It was great.
Going into watching this episode, I was like, ugh, it's the fucking like calendar episode. But like, I think I liked it.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of interactions I want to see. Or
yeah,
is that
had some whole a lot of wholesome moments, some funny moments, mm-hmm. Some that were not so great. But mm-hmm. as a whole, it could have gone deeper. But that's all Glee episodes, and could have like mm-hmm. gone a little farther, a little more nuance. But
yes, which could also turn it into a shit show. So maybe careful what we wish for there.
That's also true. They walk a line.
They walk.
I do wish
they never did walk the line.
Oh, you're right. No Johnny Cash. I do wish the music had been a little better, though. I can't forgive Hot and Harris Centerfold. Like, that's just a crime against humanity.
It's a crime.
In my opinion.
Top 10 worst Glee songs. It could be on
this
there.
Is disrespectful to Nelly. What did he do for that?
Nelly is often disrespected anyway in hip hop, so like to do this to him,
like remember
after Adam and the Apples,
yes, and then you have like Ride With Me in the first season, and then you have mm-hmm. this, and it's like what the fuck?
How far you fallen? I know for this
terrible. Anyway, sorry to end on a low note.
No, what we're trying to do is lift Nelly up.
That's right. I do love Nelly. He's great.
So thank you for listening to this episode of Glee on the Rocks. We will be back with another one. Again, you can find us almost all the places on the internet. If you want to support the pod, we're on Patreon at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Thank you for listening. And that is what you missed on Glee. I got nothing on this one. You've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a podcast by OTR Productions. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana, and our podcasts who secretly run the show. For more episodes, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Podchaser, and more at Glee on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Subscribers get ad-free episodes, exclusive mini-episodes, deep diving into the fandom, salty opinions, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you missed on Glee.